Thank you for being with us. Nicholas Bornelis of CapitaLink. I'm delighted to have you all with us today. It's the 18th time we're hosting this forum. We are doing it together with Citi. So we are sharing the heavy lift. Thank you very much, Krista, and your team for all your help. We will have two very short introductions from Krista and Cassandra. Krista is in charge of Maritime Investment Banking at Citi. Cassandra is the Head of International Capital Markets at the New York Stock Exchange. Thank you to NYSC for the partnership and for working with us for years now. And then we'll have lunch, and we'll turn the floor over to Alexander. So without any more delay, thank you to everybody. Thank you to my team, by the way, for doing an amazing job. And thank you to all of you for being here.
Thank you, everybody, and welcome. I am delighted to be here to represent Citi today. We have had this partnership with CapitaLink for many years now for this conference in New York, and I think it just gets better every year. I think it's year 18 in terms of this particular conference. So congratulations and thanks to Nicholas. He works tirelessly to bring us all together, to chase people down for panels, and it pays off when we're all together in the room. Also to Eleni, to Annie, to Kayla, to Paul, to all of the CapitaLink team, you guys do such a fantastic job in terms of staying organized, keeping people on time, and just really bringing together top notch. And you know, everyone here from the Metropolitan Club, thank you for helping us with this fantastic lunch. There's a lot of people in this room, and with such a packed day, it's always amazing that you do such a great job. Citi's commitment to shipping is as strong as ever. We continue to lead in giving capital markets advice to our clients, and I think what's really unique about our firm is we bring the power of a global bulge bracket bank together with a team that has the focus of a boutique firm and a specialization in this industry. We are extremely active on the advisory side over the last 12 months as trends of consolidation have continued. We continue to support and lend our balance sheet to our core clients and not just extend capital, but give capital structure advice. And we continue to lead the dialogue in sustainability. I'm not sure if Michael Parker is here at this lunch, but Michael is very visible in many external initiatives, as many of you know. We come together at a time where two of the major canals that support shipping have disruptions. And geopolitical landscape is one of multiple conflicts and tensions. We come together at a time where the mega trends of sustainability, technology, and digitization are at the forefront of the minds of all of you. So it's fantastic to have so many executives from public shipping companies, from private shipping companies, from all of the industry, bankers and lawyers and others that support this industry to come together and engage in these topics. So thank you for being here. We're delighted to sponsor this event, and it really takes everyone in this room to make it successful. So with that, I want to turn it over to Cassandra from the New York Stock Exchange to make a few opening remarks.
Thank you, Crystal. Thanks, Nicholas. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Cassandra Sayer, Head of International Capital Markets for the New York Stock Exchange. My team and I are responsible for attracting new listings from outside of the U.S. to list at the New York Stock Exchange, and the NYSE is thrilled to be a part of CapitaLink's 18th Annual International Shipping Forum. This is the third CapitaLink event I've been lucky enough to attend in the past 12 months. I really think it's amazing, and these insightful forums are so valuable for key stakeholders to come together within the shipping industry. Thank you to Nicholas Bornelis, his team, for the invitation. I don't usually leave downtown, but I find this a good enough reason to come. Today's event is focused on the significant role that the shipping industry plays in our global economy. Considering that the global shipping industry handles 80% of global trade, the industry is an integral part of the global trade ecosystem. The New York Stock Exchange is home to many of these global shipping companies, listing over 30 companies just from the marine transportation industry. This representation illustrates the presence the industry has not only on global trade, but also in the U.S. capital markets. This group of companies that I mentioned includes many new issuers who have recently joined the New York Stock Exchange community, including KUKO, Okeanis, and Himalaya Shipping. We also welcome Cadeler and with the reverse merger of NETI, which is a renewable energy company focusing on wind installation offshore. We're also welcoming a few more shipping companies in the next few weeks, so watch the space. As the head of international capital markets, fostering a deep and diverse international presence is a key focus for me and my team, as we continue to welcome the world's leading companies across sectors at the New York Stock Exchange. And there are a few reasons why shipping companies choose to list on the New York Stock Exchange. First, the U.S. capital markets represent the deepest pool of liquidity in the world. And with that comes the most sophisticated investors from all around the world. The quality of our markets and trading experience are paramount. We're still the only exchange in the world right now to combine cutting-edge technology with human oversight. When you come down to the trading floor, you will see that there are still a lot of traders standing around. There are a lot less shouting and yelling because there are technology that help them. The operation is very similar to the way that the technologically advanced ships use computer to navigate and operate the engine and system, but with the important oversight of captain on the bridge, steering the ship in the right direction, especially when there's volatility and turbulence. As the world's largest stock exchange, our listing venue offers unparalleled visibility to a global audience. This reputation results in a very powerful listed company community with 2,400 companies from 46 countries. The New York Stock Exchange listed companies generate over $20 trillion of revenue annually, and employs over 43 million people directly and many more millions indirectly. And we really look forward to welcoming more new companies. So please look me up, and my team is all around the world. We will be with Nicholas at the shipping forum in Posidonia. So please let us know, and many others around the world. As many of you know, the IPO market had been rather quiet in the past 2 years. Although the New York Stock Exchange led an early reopening last year in 2023 with two of three largest IPOs of the year, with Kenvue and Birkenstock. And now we're off to a strong start in 2024. Market conditions have improved, which is great. There are 14 IPOs so far to date, and more than $6.5 billion in IPO proceeds in January and February combined, which is more than what we have seen in the same time period in 2022 and 2023 combined. So this is definitely much more exciting of a year to talk about IPO. From a tech company standpoint, Reddit will be listing at the New York Stock Exchange next week. So we're quite excited about that, and that will hopefully open up some tech IPO as well. And you do want investors overall to be excited about IPOs, whether it is shipping, tech, or any other sectors. Hopefully, it will give some confidence if these IPOs trade well. In addition to private companies that are navigating their path to public market, we also continue to see more companies that are already listed elsewhere that are looking to transfer their primary listing to the New York Stock Exchange, such as Flutter, which some of you might be familiar with. FanDuel is a sport betting company in the U.S., Flutter owns FanDuel, and they are $35 billion in market cap, and they just transferred their primary listing to New York Stock Exchange at the end of January. We also saw others add a secondary listing, for example, CRH, an industrial company, as well as AngloGold Ashanti, which is a South African company. So we are excited to continue to welcome high-profile companies that are already listed but wanting to add a secondary listing. Given this, I'm optimistic about the coming few months and anticipate seeing a lot more companies come to market this year, despite the election year, you know, where the window is going to be shorter, but I think there'll be a lot of excitement coming up. Thank you all for coming, and please enjoy your lunch. Nicholas?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Krista. Thank you, Cassandra. Now we can all enjoy lunch, and we'll have Alexander in about half hour to share his insight. Before closing, from my end, I'd like to say also a huge thank you to all the other sponsors who materially contributed to the success of this event. We are an open platform, so you can see a lot of banks being part of it, law firms, advisors, shipping companies. So I'm grateful to all of you for your support. Without it, we couldn't make it, put this together. Thank you. I am very sorry to interrupt your lunch, but it's for a good reason. I would like to introduce our keynote speaker. Actually, I think Alexander does not really need an introduction. You all know he's the CEO of Euronav, of CMB, so I don't think that he needs me to go through his bio, but I will say one thing. We are delighted and honored to have him with us today. One of the things that you have at least my utmost respect is the fact not only that you are a very accomplished ship owner, which you are, not only that you have a grand vision, but also for the amazing ability to turn that vision into reality. A lot of people have visions, a lot of people are thinking of strategy, but turning that vision and strategy in practice into reality, I think that is a particularly amazing trait, so you have my full respect for that, and we are particularly honored to have you with us today to share into your amazing vision and capability to turn that into reality. Thank you.
Thank you very much for these kind words, and even though you say I don't need to be introduced, allow me to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Alexander Savris. I'm the CEO of CMB and Euronav, two shipping companies that are based in Antwerp, Belgium. And for those of you who don't read Tradewinds or the other specialized press, we were the ones that were involved in the takeover battle for Euronav with Mr. John Fredriksen. And a lot has been said and written about our family, our company, and our vision for the future of shipping. And the world of maritime Wall Street has been particularly critical of us, not aided, of course, by an unprecedented campaign waged against CMB by the previous management of Euronav. I'm therefore very happy that I can deliver this keynote speech in the lion's den, so to speak, to give you our side of the story and clear some misconceptions. Let me start with a very brief history of our group. Our family has been involved in shipping since 1828. We started as a small fishing boat builder and grew throughout the 19th century to first become one of the leading yards in Belgium and later, after the Second World War, one of the reference yards in Europe. Competition from Japan in the 70s and the 80s hit our yard very badly. And we had to reinvent ourselves by becoming ship owners and ordering the vessels for our own account. In 1991, we took a controlling stake in CMB, Compagnie Maritime Belge, a stock-listed company in Brussels. A couple of years later, in 2004, we spun off Euronav as a separately listed entity focused on crude oil tankers. Our stake in Euronav fell below 5% a couple of years ago, but we built up our shareholding again to 25% since 2021 during our takeover battle with Mr. Fredriksen. And as most of you probably know by now, we found an agreement with Mr. Fredriksen, with Frontline, to take over his 28.5% in the company, and we sold him 24 VLCCs in what is probably the largest tanker sale and purchase deal in the history of shipping. Last month, we have acquired 100 ships owned by CMB Tech. We want to rename our group CMB Tech, and Euronav will remain the tanker division brand name. Today, our group owns more than 150 ships in dry bulk, crude oil tankers, offshore wind, chemicals, and containers, with an enterprise value of $7.5 billion, and we also invest in the production of green fuels. The strategy of our group has been centered around diversifying our cargo base and investing in the energy transition of shipping. We believe that a diversified shipping group with a strong focus on decarbonization will create more value in the long run than a pure-play tanker or dry bulk owner. In the very risky business of shipping, we believe it is sound to diversify risks by investing in different shipping segments. We also believe that our customers need green ships. Due to a vast array of new regulations coming into place and the pressure they are feeling from their customers and stakeholders to decarbonize. We see this as a huge opportunity for our industry and our company, not a threat. Our fuels of choice today are hydrogen for small ships and ammonia for large ships, but we continue to monitor alternative fuel options, including green methanol. And with all this being said, we are not ashamed to say that we will continue to transport coal and oil, because with the money we collect from trading these fossil fuels and the sale of our tankers and our bulkers, we will be able to accelerate our investments in the ships of the future. We will use carbon to decarbonize. Does that make sense? We think it does, but clearly a big part of the maritime investing community didn't or doesn't. We have been a bit surprised by the many negative reactions to our refusal to merge with Frontline and our diversification and decarbonization strategy. We thought, and still think, that our view is pure common sense. Why then did the whole analyst community react very negatively to our ideas and thought, or probably still think, we have the wrong strategy? Is it a belief that bigger is always better? That you can somehow generate synergies by merging shipping companies, even though this has been proven wrong time and time again? A belief that a pure-play larger shipping platform will attract the long-onlys of this world? That stocks miraculously start trading above NAV because the company is bigger, not better run? That the best-run companies in the world don't have a reference shareholder and are managed by technocratic boards who know everything about Wall Street but nothing about the Malacca Strait? A belief that quarterly dividends are the holy grail, regardless of what the stock does once the cycle has turned? We disagree with these beliefs. We believe that pure-play shipping story is a thing of the past, and we believe that shipping companies who don't embrace the energy transition will disappear. And even though we are passionately convinced about our strategy and the direction we need to sail, we are not dogmatists and are pragmatic about the way we want to develop our business. Allow me, therefore, to clarify a few misconceptions about the energy transition in shipping that are still commonplace in our industry. The energy transition does not mean we need to go from 100% carbon to 0% overnight. Whoever states this doesn't know which immense task our industry has on its hands. We believe that dual-fuel engines are a perfect tool for the next decades to allow shipping to transition from diesel to green molecules. One can start by injecting 5-10% of green fuel and gradually increase this all the way to 95% until monofuel solutions like fuel cells or even nuclear reactors are cheap and reliable enough to install on board of our ships. Stop thinking regulations will change or go away. Regulators everywhere in the world, including the IMO, have decided by 2050 greenhouse gas emissions by shipping have to be reduced to practically zero. So either you accept the new reality or you go into politics and try to change the law. We can produce sufficient green fuels for our industry. Yes, it will take a lot of money and technological advances, but it is feasible in order to green shipping. We only need $50 billion a year until 2050. That compares with roughly $700 billion of new expected investments in oil and gas in 2024 alone. So $50 billion is substantial, but doable. There's a huge untapped potential of renewable energy that can be used to produce green molecules. Shipping needs these molecules because electrons and batteries don't work for big ships. Finally, a few misconceptions about CMB Tech. It has been said that we don't like dividends. That's not true. We like dividends. We like dividends a lot. We have paid $3.7 billion in dividends in our companies over the last 20 years. But we don't want to be tied to a fixed payout. We will discretionarily decide on what to pay depending on the results of the company and opportunities we see that can create value. CMB Tech is not some dodgy, overvalued hydrogen startup. CMB Tech owns 106 ships, including more than 40 new buildings, worth more than $3.5 billion, most of which are generating or will generate good cash flows. We have $2 billion of time charter backlog. CMB Tech is a large shipping company with real ships and real cash flows. And lastly, I'm not a member of Greenpeace, unlike my predecessor, and I flew to New York. I didn't take the zero carbon train from Europe. Ladies and gentlemen, our industry is at crossroads. 42% of all cargo transported on board of commercial seagoing vessels is either oil, gas, coal, or their derivatives. One day, these volumes will decline and make some of our ships redundant. That day may come sooner than you think. We also need to replace 300 million tons of diesel by cleaner, greener fuels, not by choice, but because regulations will force it upon us or are already in place. The question then is, how do you adapt to this rapidly changing environment? Do you hope it will go away and keep on doing more of the same? Or do you start turning the tanker before it's too late? At the last shareholder meeting of Euronav, and we've had quite a few over the past year, a small private shareholder came to me and said, "Mr. Saverys, your ideas are great, but since you announced the deal with Frontline, your stock has been flat and Frontline is up 25%. Show me the money." I could have given him technical arguments about why our stock is being held back by the mandatory takeover offer that is ongoing, but instead I said, "Sir, you are right. And I have 107 million reasons, which is the number of shares we own in Euronav, to make sure I will show you the money. We don't just have skin in this game. We are in this game with all our skin, all our heart, and all our passion. Thank you very much."
Alexander, this has been a great speech. Thank you very much again. Shipping is an amazing industry. We have so many companies with different strategies, different management, different visions. So obviously, you are one of the people who has been very specific in terms of your vision, your strategy, and your course of action. And you know, whether people like it or not, or agree with you or not, we have to give you the credit that you are a man of conviction and you walk the path. I'd like also to mention that it is wonderful that here in this room today, I mean, I was very tempted to use a phrase, I don't know how relevant it is. Have you seen the film, My Fat Greek Wedding? Whereas you have the pater familias at the end, who looks at the various people around him and he says, "I'm orange, you're apple, but at the end we're all fruit." So at the end we're all shipping companies here, and I think it is, if I may allow to say, we have the presence of the Fredriksen Group in force with us. A lot of the Fredriksen companies, including Frontline with Leo Barstad, and of course Catherine Fredriksen with us today. So I think it's particularly wonderful to see this group of executives, shareholders, investors, leaders being part of this community, moving forward despite whatever disagreements may have happened in the past. So thank you to all of you, and Alexandra, again, I don't know how I managed to convince you to come, but thank you so much for this. Thank you to everybody. And by the way, when you do a conference, you are always looking at three things. The opening panel, you have to make sure that people are there at 8 o'clock in the morning. Then the closing panel, And we have reserved a very thunderous closing panel, the tanker panel. And then the other big challenge is the panel after lunch. Make sure everybody goes. So I hope that everybody will definitely attend the dry bulk panel, where we have six amazing leaders sharing their insight. And with that, again, many, many thanks to all of you.